Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi guys, I'm Jordan Hall, and my co-host is Eric Wayne, and this is the first ever episode of the Podcastianos. In the coming weeks and hopefully months, we'll provide you with a weekly audio and visual accompaniment to the Tigers season, hopefully have some laughs, some silly stuff, and some memories along the way. Why don't we take a second to introduce ourselves? Eric, do you want to go first?
Yes. Yes, I do want to go first. Hi, I'm Eric Wayne. And so we have to decide if it's going to be called the Podcastalanos or the Podcastianos.
Oh, that's a good call. But, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we'll just alternate back and forth pretty much like Nick does. So that'll be just fine. Yes, my name is Eric. I like short walks on the beach. I like coffee. I like the Detroit Tigers. I'm a big Phil Koch fan. Shout out to Phil if you're listening.
I'm sure he is.
I would assume he is. What else is interesting about me? Not much. I mean, I'm a guy. I spend time in my basement. I get out every once in a while to play disc golf, and I enjoy drinking beer. So I know that's unusual for men of my age, but do enjoy beer. What about you, Jordan? Tell us about yourself.
I think all of those things except for beer are appropriate for me, and the disc golf. Not a disc golf fan. Not that I have anything against it. I don't personally do that. I like to run. Let's see. Donnie Kelly is my favorite Tiger. I count him in the present tense because he's still with us in spirit. I thoroughly enjoyed the Maglio walk-off. That's probably my all-time Tiger's favorite moment. And I pitched in college. I was a left-handed swingman. Think a more handsome Dwayne Bielo. That was my niche.
No, you can be more handsome than Dwayne Bielo? Are you kidding me? send the Dwayne Bielo?
One of my favorite memories of going to Comerica was him with I think he had a pink Hello Kitty backpack. It was when he first came up. Oh, that was... you could tell that it was eating him up, but he wasn't going to let anyone else know. It was...
Right.
Which I assume that's most of their...
We're like 3 minutes into this podcast and we're already talking about Dwayne Bielo. Maybe we better mix in like some Miguel Cabrera references for like people who like good baseball.
Well, I think there's a certain beauty to Dwayne Bielo and Donnie Kelly.
All right.
So let's get into the leadoff question. I live in Traverse City, Michigan, for those who don't know.
The Ann Arbor of the North. Yes.
Yes, that's actually extremely accurate, which... I don't know if there's various degrees of accuracy. You either are accurate or you're not. But yes, we have a very liberal core to the city. But it's a small town, and virtually nothing ever happens here, especially during the winter. It's super low-key. But a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you saw this on your downstate ticker, we had a small taste of Detroit up here, allegedly. Apparently about 4 in the afternoon. What?
Mold in a school?
No. Well, I mean, maybe, but
maybe.
I was more along the crime line.
Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So about 4 in the afternoon, the perfect time for a holdup, a dude went inside a gas station that's actually not super far from my house and showed the clerk that he had a gun in his waistband. And of course, as you would, he demands all of the money in the cash register. Apparently, this was a ballsy clerk who told him no. And instead of like getting physical, he decided to amend his request to just a carton of cigarettes. Like, I'll get out of here after. And obviously the clerk had the momentum at this point, so he's like, no, again. And then the robber said, how about just one pack of cigarettes? I'm paraphrasing here. I don't know exactly what he said. And the clerk's like, no. And then at that point, somebody came from the back, and the robber ran away scared, which is definitely the kind of criminals we have in Traverse City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that brings us to the leadoff question. If you, or who from the world of baseball would you want as your accomplice if you had to rob somewhere or someplace?
I originally thought Craig Monroe, but probably not, since he doesn't have, you know, many quality thefts to his, you know. Good try, Craig. I guess Billy Hamilton.
Ooh.
would be the punny answer, because he steals so many bases. Isn't that hilarious? So, I don't know. Brady Anderson. Do you remember Brady Anderson?
I do.
He seems like a guy who could get away with doing a lot of illegal stuff. It seems like he had a lot of practice with that.
Like having one 50 home run season that just kind of jumps out of nowhere. Yeah.
So. I mean, tell me that wasn't completely stolen. I'm going with Brady Anderson. Final answer. How about you? What do you say?
I immediately went down the road of what's the qualities of a good caper? You want someone versatile. I thought Donnie Kelly, obviously. Smooth talker, someone that can get you out of a jam, thinking like, you know, NCIS kind of deal. Somebody nondescript that can fit in, somebody that stays calm under pressure. But then I thought, you know, just give me someone ruthless and someone that can really get the job done. I went Ozzie Guillen. I want him in my trench when we're going to steal something, anything.
Yeah, he's not going to be afraid of anybody. Ozzie is not a known giver of cares.
he's like the pit bull of baseball, ex-baseball managers.
I saw a picture of him today. Did you see his beard?
I did not. Instantly, I reached for my phone to go look.
You got scared. I mean, it's like the Mel Gibson, I'm stopping dying my beard. It's like the salt and pepper, but mostly kind of white, kind of like Mark Hamill at the end of The Force Awakens kind of thing going on. It makes him look pretty badass.
Yeah, I just found it. Yeah, definitely.
You're impressed, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I can't do that. Wouldn't even try.
I have like three facial hairs. I need to start No Shave November like in September.
Yeah, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
All right. Let's get into some Tiger talk. Big news recently, JD Martinez signs the 2-year $18.5 million extension, avoided arbitration. I was super glad that we avoided arbitration on JD. I don't know if it's just my sensitive side, but the whole concept of bringing legal cases against each other as to why the player isn't worth as much as they. Like, it just, there's something dirty
that's
about
bad
that.
Form. And there's a reason why Dave never did it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So we, this year, we're paying him $6.75 million. That's for his age 28 season, and $11.75 next year. I feel like this almost couples with the Upton signing. Do you want to kind of address these together? Because I feel like they're kind of linked.
Maybe. Well, obviously, it solidifies your. It's the 2-year window. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yes.
Because you get the opt-in, opt-out after 2 years. You get JD for 2 years. I think we're making a bigger deal out of the JD thing than we really need to. Obviously, we're just settling up his arbitration years. He wasn't going anywhere. And basically, they're doing this proceeding early and getting it out of the way. I mean, if now they would have signed a 5-year deal with him, or a 7-year deal with him. Obviously, that's bigger news, but I feel like the 2-year deal is non-news.
Okay, all right. See, maybe I just want to read too much into this. I feel like Dombrowski had this. Like he was always going long term with guys, and to me, especially with Verlander and Mickey, it almost seemed like he was paying them these long contracts deep into their careers as like. you know, lifetime service awards, like something you would see at the Oscars. And it doesn't feel like Avila is going to do that. At least he hasn't here with JD. And like you said, it is just settling arbitration, and maybe this isn't the precedent. But I think this is kind of what I want to see. I don't want, as much as possible, for us to be paying for previous years' production.
I'm trying to agree with you, but I don't. I mean, JV and Miggy were on the cusp of becoming free agents.
It's true.
Well, JV had 1 year left, I guess. They both had 1 year left. Yeah.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. So they were. I mean, JD is less proven. He is guaranteed to be under team control for at least 2 years. With Cabrera especially, I think they were buying a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and I'm agreeing with you on that point, that is a lifetime achievement award to some extent. Maybe it's a little signal of let's wait and see what we have. Maybe.
Yeah. Not to go down this road too much, I actually do love the Miggy long-term thing, because I believe that players that age well in terms of baseball are the players that the hit tool is the driving factor. And Miguel obviously has the greatest hit tool of, you know, my lifetime, probably.
That's what she said.
Well done. And, you know, that I have no problem. And even the same thing with Victor. I have no problem paying for guys like that. Verlander, different story, but I'm glad things are semi-working out. So we talked about the two-year window. Upton has an opt-out clause after 2 years. Does it feel like the next 2 years is kind of our window to get this thing done?
Yes, in the fact that that's the window with this group. I mean, not that the window after 2 years slams shut and now you're destined to suck. I mean, you can do some things to get better, even if both those guys go. You know, we're going to be in the top 5 or 6 in payroll in the MLB for the, as long as Mike is alive,
right, yeah.
I would say, right? So it's not a matter of, hey, we got to make it happen now or we're destined to suck. I think it's, well, we have 2 years with these guys, and then you have to do more wholesale changes.
Right. And, you know, according to most of the talking heads on ESPN, we should have been the Phillies like 2 or 3 years ago. Like,
yeah, we've been becoming the Phillies for 5 years now.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that we won't, but, you know.
Right. No, there's a pattern here. Like, we couldn't sign Verlander because we couldn't extend Cabrera. We couldn't extend Cabrera because we couldn't sign Victor. We couldn't sign Victor because we'd be handcuffed. And so we signed Zimmerman and Upton. Well, we shouldn't sign those guys because it's going to handcuff us, so we can't get player X next year. I think there's money there to keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, worst case scenario, we all buy, you know, 3 or 4 extra hot and readies over the course of the year, and I think it will end up evening out.
I only get the deep dishes.
Bacon wrapped or just regular?
Do they even still have those?
I don't know.
Those are ridiculous concepts. I'm trying to enjoy.
I think it's a good idea. I just would never order it. No offense to Mike, but from Little Caesars.
Yeah.
If Jets did that, I'd be all over it.
I mean, it's the Kmart of pizza. Let's be honest.
So I feel like a lot of people have said, I don't know. I feel like the upside of the Upton signing has gone a little bit underrated. Maybe it's just in who I'm reading. But there's an MVP player in Justin Upton somewhere. Like, I don't know where it is, and I don't know if we can be the ones to drag it out of him. But there's an MVP talent in there. Like Rod frequently says, taking batting practice with Miggy and Victor is the single greatest force, you know, known to human history. Do you think that... Do you think we're the ones to get out of him, essentially?
No.
No?
I mean, he is what he is. I mean, he's not... I'm looking at his baseball reference page now. He's, what, 27? This will be his... 2016 would be his 28... is season where he's 28 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's had batting average ranges from 251 last year... all the way up to 289 back in 2011, and it's bounced around in the middle. He's finished, he's got what, three All-Stars, three top 25 MVP votes. He's got as high as fourth in the MVP voting in 2011. If he's going to do it, like, next year is his year, right?
I mean, you would
assume. You know, maybe. I don't. The thing is, he plays in the National League, and the National League makes me tired, and I don't want to watch it.
I'm actually kind of surprised at that. I knowing what very little I do, I would have pictured you as more of the NL type of game manager preference.
What's that? No. Strategy is for thinkers.
Oh, see, I
want to knock cold ones back and watch dingers.
Fair enough.
Damn it.
All right, let's see. Where do you think we should hit Justin in the order? Upton. We're not quite on a first name basis yet.
Yeah, you guys are tight. Second? What's wrong with second?
I mean, that's probably where I would have him too. But for sake of argument, what if we put Iglesias there and moved him down behind, you know, JD or Victor, who was ever hitting fifth?
Last year, we should have bat Iglesias higher. But now, we have more options, and we are going to suck less. So Iggy can go back to the bottom.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what Brad does. He has so many options. I still think that Iglesias is a prototypical number two hitter. He's so good with he can be so good with the bat.
You don't like the Marcus Thames, Rod Allen power in the two hole?
I don't. I more have a traditional outlook on that, but which makes no sense considering the makeup of our lineup. But you know, philosophy's die hard.
This may kill the purists out there, but I don't really care what order the lineup is in. You put your best hitters towards the beginning so they can hit more. After that, it doesn't make a lot of difference. All the fancy thinkers say, and the numbers say, it doesn't make a ton of difference. So therefore, I'm inclined to believe it does not make a lot of difference.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's all in the millennial baseball player's head at this point. I think that's pretty much the only crux of the matter.
Right. I look at the numbers a little bit more. They say you should hit your best player, you know, hit your best hitter second. So the whole manufacturer, move it over, got a bunt, hit and run, I think is I'm less fancied by that kind of thinking.
Speaking of fancied, in soccer, which makes, you know, obviously there's the British link there. They talk about transfer fees being like offset by the boost in ticket sales, jersey sales that a player can have. Do you think that we're going to get that from Upton? Like, he's unquestionably one of the top, I don't know, 20 talents in baseball, but it doesn't feel like he's quite as box office as some players that we could have brought in. You know, do you follow?
Right. No, he's going to be what? Fourth? In kind of fifth in star power on the team?
Iglesias might even, especially with our fan base, I mean, he's pretty popular too.
So you got Cabrera, you got Verlander, you got, I mean, would you put Kinsler ahead of him for star power?
I probably would put both Victor and JD. Just Victor because he's of the longevity.
And JD.
JD because of the story. I mean, if you were to talk nationally, obviously Justin Upton would be higher. But I think with our specific fan base, people are so loyal. I mean, example, Brandon Inge, guys that have been around for, like, there's just, they become the cult heroes. And I think it's that way with the Red Wings too. I don't have a whole lot of Red Wings knowledge to back that up, but I'm pretty sure that's true. Franzen words.
We'll see if the fans warm up to him. I mean, if he comes storming right out of the gate and just starts smashing the ball, his stock will be high fast, but the fans don't know him yet. I mean, it's, he's, like I said, he's probably the fourth, fifth, sixth ranked in our power right now in the Tigers.
Yeah. If you were to get a Justin Upton jersey, would you get a Justin Upton jersey, assuming he's only here for 2 years?
No. But that's a tainted question because I only buy jerseys of like marginal players and after they leave. The only Tigers jersey I own with a name on the back is Quinn Berry.
Quinn Berry. That's a heck of a jersey to have.
Well, because it was on clearance, you know, after the World Series. So.
Makes sense.
All right. Dutch, man. Save that money. Little Dickie.
All right, you ready to move on to Jordan Zimmermann?
Yes.
This
is please, yes.
Also happened this offseason. We signed Jordan Zimmermann. At the time it happened, I was all like, yeah, Jordan Zimmermann, love him. Same name as me. Let's go.
Do you feel bad that Jordan is kind of being hijacked as a girl's name?
I actually don't. I feel like the more the merrier.
It's kind of feminine now.
I don't love... No? Like, if you're going to do it girls, put a Y at the end. So like, have Jordan with an A be masculine, Jordan with a Y be feminine. Like,
really?
We can share.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good that you're confident about that. Keep going.
Zimmermann's fastball velocity is dipping. It has dipped each of the last 3 years. He's missing less bats, and it worries me that this is happening leading into his big contract. Does this worry you, or is this a little bit, what's the phrase, much ado about nothing?
I don't get worried about much. To answer the question, though, I think the Tigers brass did their homework on him. I think they looked at some of the numbers with these post-Tommy John guys. And what's the number? What do they say? 8 years or 10 years is kind of the life that you get out of a Tommy John. And then that's kind of it. Like there's a number, and it's a countdown. And this contract captured kind of the bulk of the remaining ligament life. And so, you know, he's probably going to have some diminished fastball. But guys at that age, Tommy John or no Tommy John, do, and they figure out a way. So no, that doesn't bother me too much.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, but he's never been like the biggest of fastballs. Like he's always had to rely a little bit more on deception, you know, changing speeds. And I think guys who don't come up, you know, being able to throw Justin Verlander, you know, 99 in the ninth inning, have a little bit more of a ability to work off speed and to reinvent themselves. So
even if he was down a little bit next year, it's not like it's an inevitable crash and descent into the abyss of soft tossing.
That's very true.
Justin showed that you could have something go on and have a dip in velocity, and if unless you're you know, at the very end of your career, or you're freaking Kenny, I mean, you're going to be able to find some velocity back.
That's, yeah, a very good point. Okay, I have a thesis. I want to run out and you can...
Oh, you have a thesis.
I have a thesis.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. It seems to me that baseball, in terms of the rotation, has gone more socialistic, where we want five guys to be 80, you know, speaking in Madden terms, of course, rather than having, you know, 295s and 276s. It feels like, you know, obviously the Mets are a bad example because they have 590s. But, you know, the Royals, they didn't have, in my opinion, you know, a bunch of elite guys. They just had a bunch of guys that you would run out there game after game after game who gave you a good chance to win. And it feels like he is a high-end version of a guy that gives us a chance to win every time he takes the mound. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm buying that.
All right, cool. Let's see. Do you want to move to the bench / filling holes?
Yes,
this is
actually what I want to do.
The one that I'm most excited about, which probably shows that I'm a bit of a nerd. Okay, so some of the holes that we filled: signed Jared Saltalamacchia, signed Mike Avilas, signed Mike Pelfrey, and traded for Cameron Maybin.
And K-Rod.
K-Rod, yeah. And we made a couple bullpen moves. We'll get to those kind of in a bullpen. Specific.
Oh,
I asked you to come up with one you like, one you love, one you hate, if that is applicable. Was it applicable for you?
I do love the Saltalamacchia. He signed at the minimum. He's experienced. My boys at Bless You Boys. I think it was a Kurt or Rob had a fancy article about Saltalamacchia and how he's a steal. Because what else? You got Holiday. You got Brian.
Yeah,
that's sitting there. Mm-hmm. I think Salty probably solidifies that spot a little bit. So I really like that one. I love that one to go with your nomenclature. What's left here? I don't dislike the Pelfrey move as much as everybody else does. They say he's average at best, and he's kind of expensive for the averageness that he is. But you know what? Inflation is a bitch. And stuff's expensive. And yes, if you want a mediocre pitcher to fill a mediocre pitching spot, you need to pay them free agent accordingly to their free agent value. And unfortunately, baseball is an expensive sport to staff these days. So I hate the Pelfrey deal less. He's going to give you some innings. Could he be usurped by one of the younger guys even this year? Possibly. But, it's kind of the price you pay for some stability. Mm-hmm. So that's I guess I like that one. And the one I hate, I guess I don't hate any of them, but Avilas would probably be my least favorite because he seems a bit redundant.
Yes.
Especially, but now they got him before Upton, and maybe they didn't see the Upton deal, but that seems like bad planning to me. I don't get the Avilas thing too much. You can put a kid out there to do what Avilas does, couldn't you?
I would assume that if you had Tyler Collins and Andrew Romine, there's nothing that those two combined, which I still think you're probably going to have, that those two can't fill the role that anything Avilas can do. And I don't think that Avilas is that much of an offensive upgrade. I know he had some, off the field issues that probably hurt his, his ability to focus and stuff during the season last year, but I don't know. But I want to go back to Pelfrey. People hated that. They were pretty nasty about that. I actually that was the one that I put down that I love. It kind of goes back to my thesis, which I'm just going to keep referring to all year.
Your professor must be very proud. Yeah,
all of them. It's actually, I turned this paper in 3 times. But I feel like he is, I say I feel like a lot. He's a guy that every time you run him out there, he's going to turn in 5-ish innings of good-ish pitching. There aren't as many guys who can do that out there as you think. Like, I mean, look at how much trouble we had last year in all of the guys we think are decent, Kyle Ryan, Lobstein.
All the quad A guys, yeah.
Yeah, who can't give you 5-ish of good-ish. And, I think that even go back to when Brad Penny was at the back end of our rotation. It was ugly. Like, he was, not the most visually appealing pitcher to watch.
He won a lot of games for us, though. I hate to say that.
Exactly.
In 1 year, didn't he win, 10 or 11 games?
Yeah, definitely.
I have to look that up. Yeah. I'm looking right now.
But, having, like you said, being able to solidify the back end of the rotation like that, it does cost a little bit of money. And if we're being honest, we just splashed however many hundreds of millions of dollars on Zimmerman, and we were going to splash millions more on Upton. If we get the absolute best bargain on a fifth starter, that seems pretty inconsequential when it comes to all the vast sums that Mike was planning on spending this offseason.
Okay, to finish the Brad Penny thought, 2011, Brad Penny won. Do you want to guess?
14.
11.
11.
Don't get so excited. 11. Brad Penny won 11 games, lost 11 games. His FIP was over 5. So
Porcello numbers.
Right. His ERA plus was a 78. So, no, not even approaching average. But he did win 11 games, which I suppose tells you something about the win statistic. But anyway,
yeah. And plus, if Fulmer, if he continues his breakout, he'll be up. It's not like they're going to deny him because Pelfrey's so good, but at least it gives you another alternative.
Right.
And I like the Saltzalamacchia one too. How long has it been since we've had a viable bat to bring off the bench in the eighth inning and we could use a home run? Like, it feels like it's been forever. It's nice to have the bat. I mean, he'll probably strike out, but
Matt Stairs. I don't know. that's a deep breach.
I'm trying to think.
Marcus was that guy.
That's true. I never got into Marcus. I appreciated
because you're country weak, son.
It's probably because he was always competing with my boy Rayburn, and I always wanted Rayburn in the lineup. Still do, for that matter. Still do. Do you want to talk about Maben at all? You just want to move on? I feel like that's been...
I don't know.
Do you have any strong takes?
I have no strong takes about Maben. It's good. He can't... I mean... He's going to, what, platoon with Ghost?
I would assume so.
He can go catch the ball. He's going to hit average for a center fielder, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe? I don't know.
I think he's a better base runner than Ghost. Not that is, you know, a massive statement.
Right. Ghost can go catch the ball, though. Is Maben as good defensively as Ghost?
Can't say I mean, he played, what, San Diego last year? I didn't super catch a whole lot of Pods games.
The thing I think about most with Cameron Maben is when he had braces when he played for the White Caps. He was right. He mentioned that at the banquet, the White Caps banquet. It was pretty funny.
How was that? Do you want to take 2 or 3 minutes and go over any highlights? I saw all your tweets and I was like, man, this seems like an awesome story.
It was fun. Like, you think about, there's a bunch of players in the room and stuff. You're like, I'm going to go talk to them and, you know, ask them interesting questions and write it all down. But, like, professional story writers do that, and I'm just, like, a dope with a laptop. So, like, I just want to, like, say, hey, how's it going? You know, how's the tour going? And I don't know. I'm a big wuss. I talk big, but I am a pansy. So I talked to a couple guys for a little while, but I wasn't there to – because one thing I will say about this, and that is – the ball players have two distinct modes. They have, I am being interviewed. This is a professional conversation mode. And the look in their eye is glassed over. They are not exactly spouting cliches, but it's something less than honesty. It's kind of like if you were, even if you were golfing with your boss and another manager or something like that. Like, you're going to just be a little different than if you're on the course with your buddies.
Right, yeah.
So, and I don't blame them for that. That's smart. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. But it's not particularly interesting.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You catch up with Verhagen at all?
I did. I talked to him a little bit.
Is he... He seems, not to use the colloquial phrase, but he seems like a bro. Is that the case?
Yeah, he's a little bro-ish.
I like him.
He's a bro-stragonist. He's from Ohio. No, he's cool. We talked about going down to Latin America and doing some work down there and stuff like that.
Oh, so, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. No, he's cool. But I also talked to my I went from Phil to Lou Poo. Luke Vaconin, who I think I must have broken. But now my guy is Blaine Hardy.
Yeah.
Love me some Blaine Hardy. He's got kind of goes back and forth between, like, tough guy face and kind of pouty. And I find him kind of fascinating. And I don't know what it is with bullpen, like, crazy people, but love me some Blaine Hardy. Go Blaine.
For whatever reason, I feel like bullpen arms are the easiest to kind of attach to. Like, I was super into, what was his name? Tim Burdack. He was one of my favorite players he was there.
Yeah.
Bench players and bullpen arms. That's generally where I take my favorite players from. So, speaking of bullpen arms, flawless segue, by the way.
Nice. You're professional.
We made 3 moves, which is 3 more than we made in pretty much the extent of Dombrowski's tenure. First thought I put down on the rundown, hallelujah. Just want to throw that out there. K-Rod, I grew up loving him, but is he just Todd Jones 4.0?
If he was, would you complain about that?
See, that's the thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, people forget that Todd Jones, at the outset of Todd Jones Experiment 2.0, was somewhat effective.
That's true. And each of his successors had bits of effectiveness in Valverde and Nathan. I guess things were terrible with all of them, but I guess I did overlook the fact that there were, nice points. You're right. Give me one good year, and then, you can do whatever. That seems
fair. What are we going to do, roll Bruce out there? I mean, no. You got to have somebody.
Yeah.
I'm not a big, you got to have clues, proven closer guy, but you have to have somebody.
That's true. It's got somebody has to sit
do
in
the
that
job.
Seat. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not bitterly upset.
Okay. Do you just kind of a point of I'm just curious, in your closer, do you prefer like experience or stuff?
Oh, stuff.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
I mean, I don't care about experience, but they have to be a good pitcher.
Yes.
That's what I care most about. Now, if you have some kid who is just wild because he doesn't have experience, that's not being a good pitcher. Does that make sense? You want the best pitcher in that spot, not necessarily a guy who throws the hardest. But last year, in the miserableness of the season, our best guy in the bullpen, the best pitcher, was Alex Wilson.
Oh, for sure.
And so, would he be a good closer? Yes, because he's the best pitcher. Was Bruce Rondon the best closer because he can throw the ball really fast? No, I would have said no. So that's just one example.
Yeah, definitely. I think Mark Lowe is an interesting combination of both. I saw him pitch again. Did he pitch against us a couple times when we went out to the West Coast early on? I don't know. I for whatever reason got a bee in my bonnet that I loved Mark Lowe, and then watched him go to Toronto, and he struggled a little bit. But when we signed him, I was super pumped. I think he has the ability to close if necessary.
What do you know about this Wilson guy?
He's a numbers darling. The numbers look great. The saber metrics, the advanced stats looked great when I looked at him. We didn't give up a ton to get him. He's a lefty. Like, other than Blaine Hardy, we don't have any lefties that can do the job. Right. So it's been a long time since we've had a 1-2-3 as good as, in my opinion, as K-Rod, Mark Lowe, and Justin Wilson. Once again, not on a first-name basis yet.
No, it's pretty solid. Well, that's for sure better than where we've been.
Yeah. And we still have Blaine Hardy and Alex Wilson, who, I mean, maybe I overestimate them because they're Tigers, but I think they're both really good pitchers.
Yeah.
And Verhagen. Verhagen's my guy. I really think that Verhagen has the stuff to be a really good back end of your bullpen guy. So I don't know if you knew this, but I actually was on Alex Wilson's Wikipedia page, as one is. Dude was born in Saudi Arabia. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty
it's
sweet.
It's not useful that I know that, but I do know that. I guess I knew that one of the bullpen guys was born in Saudi Arabia. We would have had to refresh my memory.
I spent a lot of time on Wikipedia. The thing about Wikipedia is you just go from one page to the next to the next to the next, and you look an hour later like, man, I'm still
What's your
on
favorite
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia page?
Oh, that's a tough one.
My favorite is List of Unusual Deaths. It's terrific. You gotta get over to List of Unusual Deaths. I think Calcaterra turned me on to that one. I think I spent like 3 hours reading List of Unusual Deaths one day.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. I spent
I'm not
time
a proud person.
Reading the list of orcas in captivity.
Really? Wow.
There's quite a few.
All right. Sham, moving on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, do you want to do your power rankings now?
Yeah, since I said that horrible, horrible, disgusting pun. Yeah, let's do that. We'll just go from bad to worse. Okay, power rankings. We're going to try this. I'm going to pick the top seven things in a list of a category that I decide. Why seven? Well, because it's the number of completion. It's like days of the week. It's the perfect number.
All right.
Seven. So this week we have fruits. Fruits. Okay, starting at number seven, a highly underrated fruit, but you have to have a little bit of a palate for it, and that is pears. Hmm. Pears. Pears are not trying to be an apple. You can't make that mistake about a pear. It's its own thing. Don't let it be crunchy. It's a pear. Just let it kind of melt in your mouth. It's got a little granularity. Mm-hmm. That's okay. It's a pear. Get yourself a nice Bartlett. An Anjou, maybe.
Anjou, that's where I come down. Now, yeah, have you ever tried to use a apple corer on a pear?
No.
Don't. It doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. I'm very anti-apple corer.
Oh.
I mean, be a man and use a freaking knife.
Oh. No, I'm not enough man to use a knife. I'm corer all the way.
I would anticipate that from you, to be honest. All right.
Spell my Jordan with a Y, yeah.
Number six, cherries. Cherries, this is a shout out to you, cherry country. Get yourself some nice black sweet cherries. They're delicious. Got to get them from a roadside stand. Mm-hmm. Heading up, you know, maybe 115 on the way up to Traverse City.
Yeah, you can't go like 2 miles in the city without seeing.
What is it, M37 that goes up there? No, I don't know.
72 and 22, those are our big M's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So get yourself some cherries. They're delicious. Coming in at number five, peaches. Peaches would probably be higher if it wasn't for the pesky stone in the middle.
Yeah.
That's pretty brutal. But I love some peaches. The thing is, peaches last about as long as your average bullpen lefty. I mean, they just do not have a good lifespan. They get soft fast. You know, like a DH, kind of soft, fast. You got to eat them when they're ready. Got to have some peaches, though. On ice cream, a little sugar, peaches. Okay, four, we're going for pure convenience here, and that is grapes. Grapes are the perfect convenience fruit because, you know, if you're me, I'm not washing that. Homie don't wash his grapes. Come on. Your stomach's got acid in it. So some grocery boy touched a grape. Just eat it. Don't be a wuss and wash your grapes. Stop it. Number three coming in, strawberries. Strawberries are pretty good. You can get them most any time of year. But if you go down to spring training, strawberries, go down to Parksdale Farms Market, get yourself some strawberry shortcake. It will change your life. Good strawberries down in Florida. Plant City, all that stuff. Kenny Rogers picked himself some strawberries.
Which one? The gambler or the pitcher?
The pitcher.
Oh, okay.
Everybody knows that.
I don't know that I do. Is this a story? Do I need to hear this?
Did you know Jerome Bettis is from Detroit?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
It's like Kenny Rogers picked strawberries as a boy. Everybody knows that.
Oh, huh. Interesting. All right, now I know.
Just stick with me. I'll take care of you. Two. No, coming in at number two. Apples are an American fruit, right? You're going to put them in a pie. You're going to put them in your lunch. Apples. I don't like to, this is a little weird, but I don't like just to bite straight into the apple. I like to get a knife and just like hump, just like lop parts of this entire side of the apple off. So it doesn't get stuck in my teeth. I like a nice apple, a big fat Honeycrisp apple. If you don't get Honeycrisp apples because you're too poor, get yourself a Fiji.
Fiji,
that's pretty solid. Number one, you want to guess number one fruit?
My guesses are raspberries or bananas. I'm going to go with raspberries.
Oh, you failed. It's bananas.
Ugh.
Come on. Everybody knows bananas is a good fruit. They last a little while. They have their own container. You don't need to wrap them up.
That's true.
You surely don't need to wash them. You just grab yourself a banana and you mow into that thing. I like my bananas just a little bit green. Not green, but before even they get any black spots,
oh, I'm going to
eat myself a banana. You can throw them on ice cream. You can throw them on a nice cereal. And I love me some banana milk. Cereal, bananas. You eat the bananas and you drink the banana milk.
That sounds just terrible.
Bananas are a good fruit. Okay, you want the bottom three to round out?
Without a doubt.
Okay, the bottom three. So this would be like number 569. Kiwis. What are you trying to be, Kiwi? Get your life together. You're fuzzy. You got seeds. No, don't eat a kiwi. 570, I guess it would be. Pomegranates. What the frick is a pomegranate? It's got like this little crown, like bursting out of it. It's seeds, but then that's what you eat. I don't get pomegranate. And then it's got like some coagulation gel around the seeds. Like, stop it, pomegranates. Nobody wants you. And finally, it's eating pure acid, and that is a grapefruit. Grapefruits are toxic. It's like caustic. You get a grapefruit on your skin, and you're irritable the whole day. Only old people who think like grapefruits are exotic at one point eat grapefruit. Don't eat a grapefruit. They're awful. You get the fancy little spoon with the teeth on it. You should be ashamed. Grapefruits are awful.
When we flew back from Florida at Christmas, it was a little after Christmas. Dude sitting next to us on the plane, midway through our flight, pulls out a grapefruit and just starts going to town. I'm like, who? Oh, what are you doing? Reevaluate your life.
Just smear yourself with battery acid. This stuff's awful.
I want to go back to bananas for 1 second because I thoroughly enjoy the taste of bananas. I think they're a very good fruit. My problem with bananas is that there's no range when they're ready to eat. They're like they spend a week being like, no, you can't eat me yet. And then like 12 hours later, they're like, why didn't you eat me 3 days ago?
Let me give you a tip. You want a pro tip here?
Very much so, yes.
When you go to the supermarket, what do? You're looking at the bananas and you're like, oh, I'll buy a bunch of bananas. Like, five or six, whatever do you think you need. No. You look and you rip them apart, you buy two yellow ones, you buy two green ones, and you buy two super green ones. And then you have six and you stagger your bananas.
That is absolutely illuminating. I literally have never thought of that. Life-changing.
Supermarket don't care. Yeah.
Life-changing.
Get yourself some staggered bananas.
Man, we were learning so much on the first episode.
I'm here for the people. I'm an educator, a giver.
All right. The listeners have questions for us, which you might ask, how do they have questions? This show didn't exist an hour ago. That's a good question. Don't worry about it. Are you ready?
Yeah, no, I am.
As ready as one can be. All right, the first one. People are always talking about how far in debt America is. Why don't we just save the billions of dollars it cost to put on the 2016 presidential election and just use hashtags on Twitter to vote?
No, Twitter is bad. What we need to do is use the SpongeBob Magic Conch app.
Go on. You'll have to explain this one, I think.
Okay, so have you not watched SpongeBob?
I have not.
SpongeBob is a cartoon on Nickelodeon.
I'm familiar with what it is. I just haven't seen it.
So there's an episode with the magic conch, and you ask it a question, and you pull the string, and it says it gives you an answer. So there's an app that you can get on your cellular telephone that replicates the action of the magic conch. So you'd ask it, like, should Donald Trump be president? And you push the button, and it'll say, I don't think so. And then you go, little. And then you go, the magic conch is spoken. And that's how you do it. That's how you decide a president.
To be honest, I feel like we would do better if we had that than just the general population of America choosing.
You know what's really stupid?
What?
People.
Yeah.
People. Voters. stupid.
Even me, like, I would consider myself relatively intelligent. I have no right to choose who should be the next president. None whatsoever.
As long as you don't pick Trump, I mean, you're cool with me. Uh-oh. We've alienated, like, all the people with bad hair that are going to listen to the podcast. Sorry, friends.
We don't want them anyway. Good hair only. Okay. Next one. What would you have expected to see first, a Nick Logan World Series MVP or Jim Leland dabbing?
Oh, Jim Leland dabbing is the correct answer. He's down with the people. He's hip with the youth. The good thing about Jim is he doesn't have... I mean, he's kind of crusty, but it's not like he's got a huge ego. He'll do stupid stuff. He doesn't take himself too seriously.
You want to hear my only Jim Leland story?
Yes.
My senior year for baseball, we went down to – we actually played just – what would that be? West or east of Lakeland in Auburndale for our spring tournament or whatever. And we stayed in Lakeland, and there was a collection of guys on our team that claimed that they saw Jim Leland in the elevator with some rougher-looking women, shall we say. They claimed he was had a few and was obviously the cigarette, even in the elevator. So apparently Jim Leland was staying in our hotel. But realistically, it was probably another old man with a mustache.
He was probably just, like, setting them on a course to a better life. You know, like, getting them, you know, a few supplies and a number to, you know, a community college or something like that. Yeah, he's trying to better people.
Getting them familiar with why you need power in the two-hole.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose.
Okay. What is your guys' favorite non-sports TV channel?
Man, I would say, this is going to stun you, but I'm going to say Disney Junior. Do you want to know why Disney Junior?
I feel like I can guess, but go ahead and explain.
So I can put it on and give myself a few moments of peace to look at my phone while my kids are absorbed in some Disney Junior.
That makes sense. That was kind of my assumption.
Otherwise, I'm watching sports.
Yeah, we love the Smithsonian Channel at our house. We're both nerds, but they have educational things, they do a lot of stuff on animals too. I'm a weird animal nerd. I love honey badgers. They do stuff on honey badgers all the time.
Did you see the stat where couples that watch animals nature shows together are something like 80% more likely to get busy?
No,
it's true.
You don't say.
I'm told when I do the visual for here, I'll find the stat or whatever. But yeah, you wanna get with your woman, you're gonna put on some nature show.
Gosh, I didn't know it was that straightforward. Now I know.
Now I know. It's natural aphrodisiac.
All right, next one. Do you think it's safe to say that Delmon Young isn't quite as nice as our beloved Donnie Kelly?
You know, maybe Delmon's repressing some deep down politeness, but it has not been exhibited. I think Delmon, I suspect Delmon is genuinely not a very nice person.
Your deep thoughts with Delmon pictures that you posted yesterday or the day before, yeah. I think there was two. I've laughed quite hard at both of them.
I have several months ago, I did a whole series, so I'll splash some of them up. You can see deep thoughts with Delmon. The picture is just perfect. Like, he's gazing off, and he's thinking about, like, a cheeseburger or something.
I don't know the guy, so I don't want to say anything, but he just doesn't feel like a deep thought thinker. But I concur. All right, last one. What conspiracy theory do you guys most subscribe to?
Oh, man. It's a conspiracy theory do I most subscribe to. Do you have one in mind? Maybe you should go first.
I genuinely believe Stevie Wonder can see.
That is kind of a popular one. How about Paul McCartney actually died like in 70-something? Have you heard that one?
I haven't, and this is like a body double or something?
Yeah, I guess.
A living
lizard people actually run the government. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't, but, I mean, would we be worse
it's
off?
It's pretty popular.
I mean, that's kind of my thoughts on the Illuminati. Like, if we have a super successful business people, you know, running things, they're successful. Mm-hmm. Our government isn't. Like, maybe we're better off.
Yeah.
Hashtag logic.
Yeah. New World Order, baby. Illuminati.
And, of course, Big Oil. They get what they want. I think everyone knows that.
Sure. Why get in the way?
All right. Are you ready to move on to game time?
Yes.
Okay. So every week we're going to try and end the show with a little bit of fun in the form of a game. This week I've a quiz game or something loosely based on quizzes and games. This week I came up with a game and I'm going to call it Salaries in Terms of Other Items, which is obviously super succinct and concise. Are you ready to hear how the game
is
played?
Maybe we should just... I'm going to need some help with the explanation.
I will read out a player and their salary, and then I will give you three options as to what that player's salary could buy in terms of consumer goods, and you'll have to tell me which one is correct. If you get it right, you get the points. If not, I do, I guess. So it's loosely based on the game concept. Are you ready?
Yeah.
First one, clearly Donnie, made $1.25 million in 2015. Could he buy A, 8,000 head of sheep, B, 286 tickets to Super Bowl 50 bought at average resale price, or C, 125 cases of Muscle Milk?
Well, it's not the Muscle Milk. That's going to be it's cheaper. 8,000 sheep? It's not that one either. It's the Super Bowl one.
Nicely done. One for one. The average resale price was $4,369. And he could have gone 286 times. I'm surprised he didn't buy those tickets and then give them to underprivileged children or something. Give them the opportunity of a lifetime. Oh, Donnie.
He's got a heart of gold.
All right, next one. J.D. Martinez set to make $6.75 million in 2016. First option, 4,500 Jason Witten autographed footballs. B, okay. 3 Don Kellys. Or C, 7,601 1978 Volkswagen Westfalia vans, which, of course, are best known for serving as the home of Mr. Daniel Norris.
Well, that one's cute, so I imagine that's the one that you planted, because it's adorable. But let me look at the numbers. 3 Don Kellys. We just said Don made 1.2, so, no, it's not
yeah,
that
I should have put that one further down the list, so they weren't back to back.
Yeah, you're not very good at this game. Just kidding, you're doing great, I affirm you. I'm going to go with the Vans, because that's cute.
The Vans is correct. The one van that I found like that for sale was on eBay. The current bid was $888. So who knows where that ends up? But
seems a little overpriced.
All right. So you are 2 for 2. There's apparently only 4. So don't miss these two, or we'll have some sort of tie. We'll split the points. Okay. Justin Verlander's $28 million salary in 2015. Can he buy A, 1.9 million 7-pack of Fruit of the Loom men's underwear from Kmart specifically? B, 2.7 million copies of the 2016 SI swimsuit calendar? Mm-hmm. Or C, 9,000 units of the Cisco firewall system?
Oh, okay. So we got underpants. We got swimsuit, bikini magazines, and we got software. Let's see. The underpants, doing some quick math. I'm like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover right now. There's numbers swooping past my head. I'm going to go with the underpants.
Underpants is correct. You have an odd knack for this game. If I recall correctly, when you came on my previous show, you destroyed Con Yes He Did or Con No He Did Not. If I'm not mistaken, I think you got every single one of those right also.
I'm a man of the people. I'm a hip-hop intelligentsia.
All right, okay. The last one. Coldplay's appearance fee for the Super Bowl. A, 74% stake in English Premier League club Crystal Palace. 1.4 million copies of the platinum edition of Beyonce's latest self-titled album, or C, zero bags of peanuts?
Zero bags of peanuts. So what did Coldplay get
for appearing? In the Super Bowl, yeah.
I didn't hear any figures. You'd think that'd be a thing. I don't think they make big money doing it because it promotes them. In fact, didn't somebody... I'm going to say zero. I think they do it for, like, nothing.
You are correct. It is zero. Apparently, the, like, you know, advertising of yourself is the primary... Well, the only the only fee that you get. What did you think about the Super Bowl halftime? I'm assuming you watched.
Yeah, I did. It was very colorful.
It was colorful.
I prefer nighttime Super Bowl. It was too light out.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I loved, this sounds weird. I'm complimenting a man's shoes, but I liked Chris Martin's J's. I definitely rock those. They were like multicolored and yeah, for sure.
Wow. How many pair of shoes do you own?
Oh, not a question I want to answer. Well, my wife's not here, so many. I have shoe problems. All Nikes. or Jordans, obviously. That's my name.
I have like three pairs of shoes.
Do you have like specific purposes for them, or just three of the same just for options?
No, like a brown pair to wear every day, a nicer brown pair to wear to nicer things, and then a pair of like gym shoes to like wear to the gym or when you're outside mowing the lawn or something like that.
That makes sense.
And oh, I take it back. I have a pair of like rubber short boots for like washing the car or snow shoveling or something. So I have like four pairs of footwear.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've several more than that. Yeah. I also don't wear fancy shoes to work. Not that that really changes anything, but yeah. So I have one more Super Bowl hot take. Are you ready for a super hot take?
Yeah, I'm gripping my beer tightly.
I don't think Beyonce is very attractive.
That's racist, I think.
It's not racist. It's nothing to do with race. I feel like people built her up as the most attractive woman in the world.
No, listen. Every minority man thinks she's really hot, and I don't know. It just seems kind of prejudiced to me.
I mean, she's not ugly. Just, I don't know. I feel like people are a little too high on her. I'd take Taylor over her any day.
Ah, I see. I don't know. She's another man's wife, so I couldn't. I'm not qualified.
The man that runs the world's wife, no less.
Yeah, I guess.
Obviously.
No, I'm kind of agreeing with you. Let me put it this way. I think it's overrated.
There you go.
But you know what? I also think Kate Upton is significantly overrated in her attractiveness.
I'm not sure I'm with you there. She's an attractive girl. Justin did well for himself. He outkicked his coverage significantly, but
he's like he can throw a baseball very hard.
That's true.
Like,
not everyone that can gets do you that.
How hard can you throw a baseball, Mr. Pitcher Man?
I topped out at a lofty 82 miles an hour, you know, below.
Yeah, see, you needed like another 20 miles an hour and then you could have had Kate up to two. Not that it's, you know, shallow math, but that's how the math works.
All right. Any other takes before we get out of here on this initial episode of the Podcastianos or Podcastilanos?
No.
All right. If you want to find us on Twitter, I am at JordanHall23, and you, I believe, are at Comeric Eric.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
In the coming days, we'll have a website. I'm sure it'll be Podcastianos, Podcastilanos.com, you know, something like that. Anything else to say to the people before we sign off?
I think you're wonderful people. I consider you all my friends.
Wow, that's very touching.
I'm a generous man.
I think we should sign off with in honoring of our friends near the Tigers or the Comerica Park. Eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Eat 'em up.
Eat 'em up.
Absolutely.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.